Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Chaf Dalet. We're in Chaf Gimel Mibbeis. We are about a quarter of the way down in the Gemara. We're starting this morning with the words Tanan. It's about 12, 13 lines from the top of the Amud. First word in the line is Rabbi Chanina Savar. The Gemara yesterday, the Mishnah yesterday in Chaf Gimel Mibbeis Aleph brought down a number of examples of Tarovis. You have mixtures where Menachos get mixed up in one with another. There were three scenarios in the Mishnah. Three scenarios in the Mishnah all highlighted different permutations, different scenarios in which either Mincha or Kometz got mixed up one with another. We're going to review the case in the Mishnah a little bit later in the morning. In the meantime, however, there was a subsequent discussion in the Gemara that seemingly has nothing to do with the Mishnah, but as you know, of course, if the Gemara is discussing it right after the Mishnah, it means that the Mishnah obviously is going to play a role. And the Gemara's discussion was a statement made by Rav Chista, which is Nevela and Shchuta getting mixed together. Obviously another case of Tarovis. Tarovis over here in terms of Tumma and Tahara. We know that a Shchuta, the Shechted animal, is not a source of Tumma because you Shechted the animal. So it died with the benefit of a Shchita, so therefore it's not Tumma at all. On the other hand, when it comes to a Nevela, Nevela is an animal that died without the benefit of a Shchita. So the animal is an Ava Tumma. So, of course, now if the two of them are mixed together, so we'll work with the general principles of Rov, that as long as you have the majority of one, so the majority of one will determine, will be the determinant of what is going to be the status of all of them. So that means to say that if the majority of them are Tahor, so then that small minority, which is Tameh, is now going to have the status of Tahor. And the opposite also would seem to be true as well, that if you have the majority of it being Tameh and yet one of the pieces being Tahor, so then the Tahor would take on the status as well. Although admittedly, that last example that I just gave is a little bit difficult. We usually assume Bittul creates a nullification of Isser. We don't normally assume that Bittul will create a status of giving something a status of Isser. But okay, anyway, but for our purposes right now, let's keep it nice and simple. Rav Chista said that a Nevela that's mixed together with Shchuta is going to be subject to Bittul. Why? And so Rav Chista said, "She'ef shel shchuta shetas a nevela," because the shchuta cannot become a nevela. So that means to say that as follows: as far as Rav Chista is concerned, so basically he's operating with the principle of min bimino. Okay, and the principle of min bimino tells us that when I have like items that get mixed together one with another, so min bimino ain't a batal. Now again, just to remind each other, this is subject to a machlokas atanayim. Between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim say that there is always going to be Bittul, whether it's Min B'mino or whether it's Min B'sheino Mino. But according to Rav Yehuda, Min B'sheino Mino there's going to be Bittul, but Min B'mino, if items get mixed together and they are similar items one to another, so there's not going to be Bittul, there will never be Bittul. And it does not matter what the ratios are, what the proportions are, each item will always maintain its identity. Fine. And then here comes the discussion which we started with yesterday and we're going to continue today. According to Rav Yehuda, what exactly are the parameters of min bimino? What does it mean that these two items are like items? So up until yesterday's daf, if we did not have yesterday's daf, I would have said, it's all about physical characteristics. Meaning as long as you have blood and you have blood, it doesn't matter halachically, this is blood of one animal, this is blood of another animal. Meaning if it's blood and blood, so min bimino in a bato. So it's not going to, there will never be nullification when I have like items, and like items are going to be defined by the physical characteristics. That's what we all would have said, that's at least what I would have said, had we not had yesterday's daf. However, comes along yesterday's daf, and yesterday's daf brings in a machlokas amorayim. Now we learned in yesterday's daf, the amorayim are really arguing within Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya's really position is really rooted in the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rabbi Yehuda says min bimino in a batal. Rabbi Chiya agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that min bimino in a batal. But Rabbi Chiya adds now a wrinkle in the halacha of min bimino in a batal. Even though currently, right now, it's min b'sheino mino, but as long as one item can move over and convert and change to look like the other side, when I say look like, I don't mean physically have the same physical appearance as the other side, but halachically also will have the same characteristic as the other side. So this would be a case of min bimino, and therefore it's in a bato. So Rabbi Chiya now is adopting Rabbi Yehuda's position of min bimino, but as far as Rabbi Chiya is concerned, what is the parameter, what's the definition of min bimino? Not only do they have to share the same physical characteristics, that's a given, but on top of that, they also have to have the same halachic characteristic. Now when we say the same halachic characteristic, what we mean by that is not necessarily currently, but as long as one item can become the other item halachically, so then we're going to be fine. Now with all that stated, and I know that's a lot already to process, I'm aware. Now with all that stated, now we'll go back to Rav Chisda's statement. Again, this is all just a review to get us ready for the remainder of yesterday's daf. Rav Chisda said that nevela becomes batal b'shchuta. I have one piece of nevela gets mixed in with a whole bunch of pieces of shechted animal. And Rav Chisda said that there's going to be bittul. Now keep this in mind. Rav Chisda over here is operating within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So it's a case of min bimino. And so why are we even talking about bittul? Min bimino in a bittul. So again, this is not Rav Chisda just holding like Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Chisda holding like Rabbi Chia's version of Rav Yehuda. Which now means that it's only going to be min bimino when the two can become similar. In other words, right now, currently, they are physically similar. It's meat and meat. But one is nevela and the other is shchuta. Or let me go in the order of the mevatel and the batel. That which, the majority versus the minority. The majority is shechta meat. The minority is nevela. And what Rav Chisda says is that according to Rabbi Chia and his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, there's not going to be batel. Why? She'i efshar l'shchuta she'ta'aseh nevela. Because the shechted cannot become nevela. Meaning once an animal is shechted, it forever now will be impervious to tumah. Now when I'm going to be clear, and we said this point yesterday, obviously it's a food and it can become tumah, but it can never become nevela. Nevela is an avatumah, and a shechted animal can never become a nevela. So that means to say now, because the shchuta can never become nevela, so this is now an example of min b'she'eino mino, and therefore it's subject to bittul. And this is Rav Chisda. Now, we also learned in yesterday's daf that Rav Chanina basically adopts the same position, but with one important distinction. And that is that according to Rav Chanina, yes, it's true that he's explaining Rav Chia, who is understanding within Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino is inobato. But again, what is going to be the characteristic? What are the parameters of min bimino? It has to be physically the same. It has to be halachically the same. Now, not currently, but in other words, but one can turn into another. The difference, however, between Rabbi Chanin and Rav Chisda is don't look at the mivatel, the majority, but what you're focusing is on the batel, that the minority which is going to be nullified. If that can turn and convert to look like the mivatel, then it's an example of min bimino. Otherwise, it's not min bimino, it's min b'sheino mino. Okay. Now, what I just presented right now, it's a wonderful summary, but admittedly, it's a lot to absorb. It's a lot of information, and it's a fun way to start the daf. But that's what we got from yesterday's daf. So, Machlok is between Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina, within the sheet of Rabbi Chia, who's operating within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino ain't a batel, but now it's a question of defining what exactly is the case of min bimino. Sharing physical characteristics is a given. That's a given. Blood and blood, meat and meat. So, but that's only the beginning. On top of that, also has to be able to share halachic characteristics as well. So that if one now currently is not the same halachically as the other, but can become like the other, so this is going to be an example of min bimino, and therefore ain't a batel. And which one are we focusing on? Rav Chisda says the mivatel. Rabbi Chanina says the batel.
Where does he get that from?
Where do they get it from? This is part of their Masorah. Dan, it's a fair question, but this is part of the Masorah of what they have in terms of what Rabbi Chia said and the correct understanding of Rabbi Chia. Now you'll ask me, well, if it's a Masorah, so then how can one be talking about the Mivatel and the other one talking about the Batel? And I'll just simply say, well, that part of the Masorah perhaps was, not passed down, this, whatever. That part's tricky. But it's part of the Masorah. Look, what's it called? In something like this, keep in mind, to get to the point of disagreement, there are, five, 6 points of agreement before we get to the end where there's a subtle disagreement at the very end. So for the most part, they're agreeing with one another. It's just a question of the subtle details in which they're disagreeing on.
Even in dam, it could be a difference between dam, samsim, and regular, right?
Right. In other words...
So that will also count as a...
Okay, so right. So in other words, so you'd have to take all the cases that we learned previously and plug them in to this and see if it works out. And again, keep all this in mind. This is all working within the sheet of Rabbi Huda, the min bimino, and abato. Okay. So in other words, if you ask the Chacham, and this entire discussion is not a halachically significant discussion. Okay. Tashma. Or I should say better, Tanan. Tanan, this is where we left off yesterday. We're in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go over our Mishnah again, the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, and we're going to go through all the cases of the Mishnah again, and seemingly our Mishnah is going to be taking a side on this very issue. So we start with the first case of the Mishnah. Shtei menachos lo nikmitzu. I have two menachos that the kmitza was not taken off. V'nisar v'zu b'zu, and they're mixed one with another. So im yachol l'kmos mizu b'fnei atzma k'sheres v'yim la p'sulos. So if I could do a kmitza from each one, so then fine, otherwise it's not going to be good. And in terms of a visualization, remember I said yesterday, by the way, yesterday I talked about a Punnett square, it was wrong. Anyway, it's a Venn diagram. So if you look at the Venn diagram, so you have two circles, so and they're overlapping in the center, but they are not overlapping on the two extremes, on the sides. So over here you have the menachos, where they are mixed but only on the center. And so therefore there are on the extreme right and the extreme left, each mincha is independently identifiable. And so what the Mishnah taught us is that if I could take a kmitza from one side and the kmitza from the other side, so you're good, you're fine. The Gemara says, Va'acha kevin dekamitz le'mechada. So the Gemara says, well, let's think about it. Okay, so in other words, let's actually play this out. So I have two menachos, pre-komitzed menachos, that get mixed up one with another. And then what happens is that it's a Venn diagram where I could take off a kmitza on the far left, and I could take a kometz on the mincha on the far right. Fine. So I take the mincha off on the far left. Oh, sorry. I take the kometz off on the far left. Now, what is the remainder of that mincha? It's what in halacha is referred to as shirayim. So now I have shirayim, and that shirayim now is actually mixed together with the other mincha, the non-kometz mincha. So we have now a tarovus, a mixture of Shirayim, and what the Gemara's language is going to be Tevel. Now, I know that Tevel is usually a term that's used to describe Truma, but Tevel just simply means it's not yet tithed. Here, tithing is the Kometz. So I have now a Tarovus, a mixture of Kometz and Tevel. And now what? So the Gemara says, well, let's think this through. I'm back to the Gemara, I'm reading inside. Once I take the kmitza off the far left, so the rest of that mincha now is shirayim. Now, the shirayim are not going to be mevatel the tevel. Now, how do I know that? Because the Mishnah gives full allowance for me to take the kometz off the other mincha as well. So, obviously now there's no bittul going on. Now, there's no bitta going on, money. Let's think about who the author of the Mishnah is. So if the author of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah, is a Chachamim, you know what the Chachamim say. Olin, anything going up onto the Mizbeach is not subject to bitta. But remember, this is Shirayim. Shirayim are not going up onto the Mizbeach. So fine. So in other words, Shirayim is subject to bitta. But the Chachamim are also of the opinion that min b'mino is subject to bito. So if min b'mino is subject to bito, so that means to say that the shirayim should be mevatel the tevel, the other mincha. And once there's bito, so then we have a problem. But our Mishnah is clearly subscribing that there's no bito. So our Mishnah is holding like whom? Has to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. El pshita Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Bishlam Laman Damer Basa Bata Azlinan Bata Havikim Mevatel Dilchi Kametz Meidach Avle Shirayim Kihane. So the Gemara says, okay, now we have over here a Tarovus of Min Bemino. But let's now consider. Again, we're going to be assuming that the Mishnah is not only adopting Rabbi Yehuda's position, but Rabbi Chiya's version of Rabbi Yehuda. And now let's consider. I have a mixture of Shirayim and Tevel. Now, the shirayim in this case is going to be the mivatel, and the tevel over here is going to be the batel. Now, can the tevel become shirayim? The answer is unequivocally yes, of course. Because once I take the kmitza off the second mincha, what remains is shirayim. So fine. So from the standpoint of the batel, can the batel become like the mivatel? The answer is yes. Let's flip around the question. Can the mivatel, the shirayim, become like the batel? And the answer, of course, is no. Once you were removed the comments of the first mincha, the shirayim now is shirayim, and you can no longer convert it back to a standard mincha. It will be and forever be shirayim. So the mivatel can never become like the batel. So over here, in terms of what's significant to establish that this is a case of men bimino, and therefore not subject to bittul, so what seems to be significant over here is the changing status of the batel, not the mivatel. This is good for Rabbi Chanina. So elamanda merbasa mivatel zinam. But if you're following the mivatel shirayim mikahave tivla, can shirayim become tevel? And the Gemara is asking that rhetorically. Of course, the answer is no. Shirayim cannot become tevel. So what do we have over here? We seemingly have now a mishnah that clearly favors Rabbi Chanina, that our mishnah is going like Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Chia's version, Rabbi Chanina's version of Rabbi Chia within Rabbi Huda. I know that's a mouthful. I know, but that's where the Gemara is at right now. So lema deloka Rabbi Chia, and therefore it sounds like our mishnah is not going like Rabbi Chia. Or we should say, right, as we have like a smaller version of on the side of the Gemara, our mishnah is not going like Rav Chista's version of Rav Chia. So the Gemara says, "Hasam b'kid Rabbi Zera, d'amar Rabbi Zera." So the Gemara says like this: maybe over here, our mishnah's example over here is not going to have a universal. It does not have universal standing because our mishnah is talking about minachos, and it could very well be that when it comes to a mincha, specific to mincha, shirayim and tevel are treated the same. Why? Nemra haktar becomes venemra haktar b'shirayim. The Torah, when describing the kmitza, uses the word haktara. The Torah, when describing shirayim, uses the word haktara. Now, even though shirayim, of course, are not going to be burnt on the mizbeach, but the Torah, when describing it, uses the words haktara, and therefore ma haktara amor becomes. And so therefore specific, and this is just specifically to menachos, shirayim and kometz obviously have different halachic settings. Kometz is burnt on the mizbech, shirayim obviously is not. But vis-a-vis min bimino, we are going to consider it like min bimino because the Torah uses the words haktara in describing both. And so therefore, maybe this is not going to play a role in Rabbi Huda, / Rabbi Chia, / Rav Chista. Tashma.
How do you eat the shirayim?
How do you eat?
In other words, you don't put it on the mizbeach. How do you cook it?
You bake it. In other words, it's flour and oil.
Different place.
Yeah. Yeah. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. How come it's, and now this is our second case of our mishnah. Like I said in the beginning of this morning. Mm-hmm. We're going to end up reviewing all the cases of our mishnah. So hakomish and esarv b'mincha shalom nikmatza. So let's say you have a kmitza, and the kohen by accident put it into a bowl of a mincha where kmitza was not taken off. So now what do we do? So what you do is you dispose of it. So right, in other words, there's no solution in terms of how to fix this scenario, because the kometz that fell in, you don't know where it is now in the bowl. You want to take off a kometz, but you literally have no idea what you're taking off. In other words, let's just keep it simple. There's no solution. However, lo yaktir. Now, our Mishnah entertained, there is one thing you could do, and that is take the entire bowl and burn on the top of the Mizbeach. Vis-a-vis the un-kometz mincha, sehelfnisht. You lost it. But vis-a-vis the kometz that fell in there, so at least now that's getting burnt on the Mizbeach, and that's getting burnt on the Mizbeach, and at least now for the first mincha, you now have a kasher mincha where you burn the kometz. Now, v'im hikter zusha nikmetza asal abalim, v'zushalo nikmetza lo asal abalim. And that's exactly what we learned in the Mishnah. If I took this entire mixture of a kometz and an un-kometz mincha and I burnt it on the mizbeach, so at least for the kometz, it worked. Now, what's clear from our Mishnah is that there's no bittul. Each part maintained its identity. And so the Gemara discusses. V'loka mevato le'tivla l'kometz. So you notice, of course, in the Mishnah, that when the kometz fell into the bowl with this un-kometz mincha, so you notice that the mincha Right? Well, again, what the Gemara uses, the description is tevel. Tevel just simply means the second mincha was uncommitzed. So the tevel is not being mevatel, the commitz that fell in, money. And once again, we'll ask our questions. Who is the author of the Mishnah? So according to the Chachamim, this is a case of min bimino. But min bimino is in fact subject to bittul. Now, elabshita Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, so obviously the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Bishlam Lamandam Rabbasa Mevata Azlina Mevata Havikabatel, the Chaporta Chaze, Lemik Matmine, Vahavale Minu Min, Umino, Umin Bemino Lobato. So the Gemara says, now here it works out actually better for Rav Chista. Because again, what's the Mivatel and what's the Batel? In the second case of the Mishnah, the one we're focusing on right now, so a comet fell into a uncomitzed mincha. So the comets that fell in now is the batel. It's the part that now is looking to be nullified. It's the minority. The uncomitzed mincha, of course, is the majority. Can the uncomitzed mincha now be mevato the comets? So our Mishnah said no. There's no bittul. Now let's consider. According to Rabbi Chia, it's not enough just to be min bimino. It has to be min bimino. And also, they're going to share. They're going to ultimately share the same halachic characteristics. Let's think this through. Is the mevatel? Can the mevatel end up looking like the batel? I don't mean looking physically. I mean halachically. Can the mevatel end up being looking like the batel? The answer is yes. Yes, because the mevatel over here is the uncomitzed mincha. You could take a kmitza from any part of it. So any part of it is eligible to become comets. So the answer is yes. From the perspective of the batel, can the comets, once you have comets, can that comets ever become untithed? And the answer is unequivocally no. So this is now going to be in favor of Rav Chista, and obviously difficult for Rabbi Chia. So Hanami Kid Rabbi Zera. The Gemara says, okay, but at least I know how to answer the question. Again, we're going to go back to the point we made earlier. This discussion may not have relevancy to Menachos, Komets, and Shirayim as it relates to a Mincha, even though halachically are not the same. Vis-a-vis Bittul, they're the same. The Torah, again, this is reviewing what Rabbi Zera taught us. The Torah uses the word haktara in respect to kamitza. The Torah uses the word haktara in respect to shirayim, and therefore they're one in the same, and therefore not subject to bittul, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tashma. And here we now go over the third case of our Mishnah. We are towards the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Tashma nisariv kamitza b'shirayim shechaverta. If I have the kamitza of the shirayim, Nizarv Kamsa Bishiran Shah Khaverta. So the Kemitza was taken off and the Kemitza got mixed up with another Shirayim, with Shirayim of some other Mincha. So Lo Yakter Vim Hikter Alta Labalim. So again, what to do? Dispose of it. Lichatchila. Bidyavid, if you took the whole mixture and you put it up onto the Mizbeach, so at least you successfully burned the Kamitz. Once again, let's reiterate. It's clear from our Mishnah that there's no Bittul. Because if there was bittul, so then the kometz would have lost its identity. The kometz has preserved its identity, which of course means that there's no bittul. So now, va'achad lo havi mevato kebatel, v'lo kemevat lo yishirayim lekometz, money. So now, once again, we're going to re-ask the question. And over here, this case, it's a question on either Rav Chista or Rabbi Chanina. Why is there no bittul over here? Again, if we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, but with Rabbi Chia's wrinkle, so that means that in order for bittul to occur, it doesn't mean just simply they have to physically be the same, but eventually one of them halachically has to look like the other. In the third case of the Mishnah, I got on one side kemitza, I got on the other side shirayim. Shirayim can never become komets. Komets can never become shirayim. They literally will never take on the identity of one another. And so therefore, why is there no bittul? There should be bittul over here. And this question is both according to Rav Chista and according to Rabbi Chanina. So mani rabban v'chule v'chule. And the Gemara over here says, and you know how this all plays out, Q&A. The Gemara doesn't even bother giving us the shakla v'tari over here. And the Gemara's answer, but we also know the answer already at this point as well, because this is now the third time we're hearing the same answer. Amar Rabbi Zera Nemar Aktar Bekomitz Benemar Aktar Bishurayim Aktar Amor Bekoritz Bekomitz Ein Komitz Mevatos Chaverav Aktar Amor Bishurayim Ein Shurayim Mevatlam Asa Komitz. And the Gemara's answer over here, and here you really see Rabbi Zera in the starkest of contrasts, because over here we have a Komitz get mixed up with Shirayim, either of its own carbon or of another carbon, it doesn't really matter. And Kemitza can never become Shirayim, Shirayim can never become Kemitza. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Chia, there should be Bittul over here. This is not a case of Min Bemino. And the Gemara's answer is, it is a case of Min Bemino. Because even though you're right, Kemitz can't become Shirayim, and Shirayim can't become Kemitz. All that's true. However, when it comes to Menachos, because the Torah uses same terminology in describing the Kemitz and the Shirayim, so vis-a-vis the halachas of Bittul, it's considered min bimino. Good. Tashma. The Gemara asks one more question, but here we leave our Mishnah. Okay, so what we did successfully this morning is we reviewed our Mishnah in the context of the machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Chanina in terms of how they understand Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi Chia is operating within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And once again, the Gemara basically said that although our Mishnah seems to favor sometimes Rav Chisda, sometimes Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara ends up saying that our Mishnah is not a referendum on any of this, because our Mishnah is talking about Menachos. When it comes to a Mincha, Komitz and Shirayim are always going to be considered Min B'mina. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Now a question from a totally different source. Tivla B'ketzach B'shum Shemim Uvechom Nei Tavlin. So let's say you put spices in your matzah. Now, I know that we bake matzahs with no spices whatsoever. We don't put salt into it. We don't even put salt on it on Seder night. Okay, but it could very well be that we're not talking about the matzah for the Seder. We could be talking about matzah for over the rest of Pesach. There is a subsequent debate amongst the Rishonim whether or not putting any additive into the water flour to make matzah is going to accelerate and expedite the chametz process. I'm not here to discuss that right now. We are just simply discussing bittul. So over here, we take now spices, ketzach, shumshimim, and we put it into the matzah. Sesame seed matzah. Doesn't sound so bad. And ekshera, matzahi, elashenikra, matzah metubala. So as far as matzah is concerned, it's kosher matzah. Not for the Seder. It's matzah metubalas. It's spiced matzah. You'll eat it over the rest of over the remainder of Pesach. Now, kasach adach adafish leitavlin, so it's feimi matzah. And right now, the Gemara says that you put it. The Gemara is telegraphing the punch. You put in a lot of spices. In fact, there are more spices than there are matzah. I know it's hard to imagine. Meaning, now we're talking about, right, there's more sesame seeds than there is flour. But okay, let's just assume. So Bishlam Laman Damar Basa Batal Zinan Bate Havikim Avatel Dilachim Afsha Havale Kitavlin. So the Gemara says now, can matzah take on the characteristic of the spices? So yes, when the matzah ends up rotting and decaying, so then it can leave the status of matzah and enter into tavlin, into spices. But if we're following the Mevatel, and again, we're assuming that there's more spices than there is matzah. I know it's a funny assumption, but that's clearly what the Gemara is assuming. So the Gemara says, Tavlin mikahavim matzah. You know, Tavlin can't become matzah, meaning Tavlin will never take on the halachic status of matzah. And so fine. So if all this is true, which we know we're going to change the assumption. But if all this is true, so now we know that the mivatel, in this case the tavlin, cannot take on the status of the batel, and yet we're talking over here of bittul. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're just going to change the assumption that there is not more sesame seed than there is matzah, but just the opposite. More matzah than there is sesame seed. Dekanami diktani matzahi el shenikra is matzah metubal shmamina. Because the Bryce ends off by saying, and what is this now? It's matzah. You can only call it matzah if you have the majority of it being flour, not sesame seed. So the Gemara says, so clearly over here we're talking about where the majority is flour. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, and really, quite frankly, it takes us to the end of yesterday's sugya. So, a long discussion in the Gemara, it's really not that long, it comes out to be an amud and change, but a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding min bimino, lefi shitas Rabbi Yehuda, but then lefi shitas Rabbi Chiya's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, and then a subsequent debate amongst the Amorayim, when Rabbi Chiya says for Rabbi Yehuda that not only do they have to share the same physical characteristics, but they also must share the same halachic characteristics, and then the discussion of, well, what are we looking at in terms of this matches that? Are we looking at it from the perspective of the Mivatel, that Shitas Rav Chista? Are we looking at it from the perspective of the Batel, the minority, Shitas Rabbi Chanina? Let's continue. The Gemara now moves on to a totally different topic, which will cover most of today's daf, and that is Tziruf. Tziruf is a concept where if I took something and I put it into a bowl, so the bowl is going to unify whatever the contents are of that bowl, and it will be considered like one entity. That is the concept of Tziruf, and now the Gemara's question and discussion over the remainder of today's daf is going to be simply a question of, conceptually, how do we look at this concept of Tziruf? What degree is the bowl unifying the entire contents of the kli? And so that is going to be our discussion in Menachos on Daf Chav Dalet. Kisalag Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana goes up to Eretz Yisrael. If you would like to know a little bit of backstory in terms of Rav Kahana going up to Eretz Yisrael, it is really one of the more amazing, interesting stories that take place in Shas. I'm not going to go over it right now. 10th Perek of Baba Kama. Okay, so it's towards the end of the Perek. So you will see the story over there, Rav Kahana making Aliyah. That's all I got for you right now. But the Kisalag Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana goes to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechina lebnei Rabbi Chiya. So now he's interacting with the sons of Rabbi Chiya, Diasvi v'Kamre. And they are now having the following discussion in the Beis Medrash. Isaron Shechelko. So you have now one Isaron of flour. A standard mincha has an Isaron of flour mixed in with a log of shemen. So you have an Isaron of flour that's in a bowl. V'hinichu bibisa. And it was placed into a bowl. And v'nagat v'yom be'echad mehem. And this Isaron of flour was divided into two halves. And the two halves, so you have two half Isarons in one bowl, and they, the two half Isarons, are not touching one another. V'nagat v'yom be'echad mehem. And takes a t'vulyom. A t'vulyom we know is somebody who has residual tuma. That t'vulyom came into contact with an avatoma, not mace, but came into contact with an avatoma, toveled in the mikvah, and tonight, after experiencing Harav Shemesh sunset, in other words, once it gets to night, so then the tumah will be gone. From the time that this Tful Yom toveled in the mikvah until tonight, so he has a little bit of residual tumah. He is no longer considered an Ava tumah. He no longer can be Metame a Kli, but he can, of course, be Metame the flour that's in the bowl. And so now what the B'nai Rabbi Chiya are discussing as follows. So he puts his finger into the bowl. It's not a kli cheres, so there's no avir. But he puts his finger into the bowl. He touches one of the half isarons. Now the other half isaron is not touching Let me say it clear. The two half isarons are not touching one another. Is the concept of tzir of kli going to say that everything in that bowl is unified, and therefore, even though the tefillium touched one half, that doesn't or does? Going to be metame the second half. Gemara's discussion. So maybe we know that there's a Mishnah in Chagiga that says that a kli is mitzaref, but maybe that's vis-a-vis being to be mitzaref in terms of imbuing something with kedusha. That's only when the two items are touching one another. Maybe. It's not enough to just simply be in one kli together, but the concept of tziruf demands that the two halves have to be in contact with one another. But if they're not touching one another, so then the concept of tziruf does not unify. Odilma loshna. Or maybe there's no difference. Maybe the concept of tziruf is such a strong concept that it will unify everything in the bowl, even though that which is in the bowl is not necessarily touching one another. Amr lehu iu mitznan. Kli mechaber, kli mitzaref tanan. When Rav Kahana hears the question, Rav Kahana says, well, let's focus on that Mishnah in Chagiga. And the language used in that Mishnah in Chagiga. Does the Mishnah use the language of mechaber? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. The Mishnah uses the language of mitzareif, and the connotation of the word mitzareif means kol dehu. It unifies under every circumstance. Rashi meets an akli mechaber. Have a mashma. If the language of the Mishnah in Chagiga would have been mechaber, Rashi points out, meaning that the particles are touching one another, and what the ability of the Kli is able to do is, not only now are they touching, but they're unified. However, that's if it would have said mechaber. Ki'ilu havechad, making these particles as one entity. Ve'im nitmazeh, nitmazeh. Ve'im nitmazeh, nitmazeh. So that by which if a tummy person were to touch one particle, it's as if he touches all the particles. But in other words, that's if it would have said mechaber. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Rashi continues. Mitzareif mashma, de'ein nogin, v'zeh, mitzarfan liyosechad. The word tzirif, however, gives the indication that they're not even touching one another. They're just simply in the same bowl together. Tzirif, the word tzirif, Rashi explains the Gemara, means to say that not only are they in the same bowl together, they don't even have to be touching one another. What the bowl is able to do is combine and unify, even if they're not touching. The Gemara continues this discussion. Hoshidecha lebinei amahu. Okay, so I already have in the bowl now two half isronos. Now a standard mincha requires one isaron. So I have two halves in the bowl. Fine. So I have two halves in the bowl, and then somebody comes along and puts a third half in the bowl. So now the fraction over here is 3/2. So now I have a third half. Now this third half is, right, three's a crowd, right, in this particular scenario. It's unnecessary, this third half, because I already have two halves making a fully sarin. I already have enough to make a standard mincha. And so mahu, amar leit tzarech lekli kli mitzarfo, ain't tzarech lekli ain't kli mitzarfo. So he gives a very definitive answer. And that is as follows. This idea that a kli is mitzaref is only that which is necessary to go into the kli. So for that, the kli will be mitzaref. But if I'm putting over here, borrowing an English expression, a third wheel into the kli, so this third half over here is unnecessary. You didn't need it in order to create a mincha. And so therefore, the kli is only mitzaref, that which is necessary, but that which is not necessary, the kli is not mitzaref. Hoshi tzvul yom es etzbo b'neiha mahu. So, what if the tzvul yom just puts his finger into the kli? Is that going to be enough now for the tumah to communicate and to transmit from the tzvul yom into the flower? So the Gemara says, amar lehu ein lecha davar shematame me'aviro ela kli cheres bovad. So, And Rav Kahana's answer was really simple. Well, what are you talking about? In other words, the idea of avir kli being metame, that is limited only to kli cheres. This is not a case of kli cheres. And so therefore, that question really has no basis, no business in being involved in this scenario. Yes, it's true, a kli is mitzaref. But that doesn't mean that now anything in the airspace automatically is considered like contact. Kli mitzaref just simply means all the contents in the kli now are considered one entity. But in order to transmit Tumah, you still need physical contact between the person and the content. Hadar yuba minayhu. Now he then asked a question from them, meaning so far he's been fielding questions from them, and now he asks the following question. Ma'alik mots mizeh alzeh. Okay, so let's go back to our first case where I had two halfy sarins in the bowl and they were not touching one another. And we talked about this concept of tzirif kli, that by which if he's touching one half Yisaron, so the other half now becomes Tameh, because Tzirif Kli unifies all the contents of the bowl. Question now goes like this. Let's say we have a bowl, same scenario, two half Yisarons in the bowl, they're not touching one another. And now the Kohen wants to do the mitzvah of Kemitza. Can he go to one half Yisaron, one of the halves, and do the Kemitza from one of the halves? Why not? So the Gemara explains the question like this. Tzirif Da'araisa, O de Rabbanan. Now, this concept of tzira, is it just a din de Rabbanan? When I say just, I mean, and it only will serve as a chumrah, only as a stringency, but not as a kula. Or maybe no. Maybe the idea of tzira is a din de araisa. A din de araisa, which means that unification occurs in the bowl, and that would work against us, and of course that would also work for us as well. Not only does unification mean that if one part becomes tame, the other part becomes tame, but unification also means that if I do kemitza from one half, it's keilo I did kemitza from the two halves, which means that it would be a valid kemitza. But if, in other words, if all we had the cases were tuma, you could have made the argument that those are all tuma on a derabanan level. You could have made that argument. And even though, right, we've been throwing around the word tuma, but it could have been all that is operating on a derabanan level. But once you're talking about being the ability to do kemitza, that can only work on a daraisa level. Now, it's interesting, by the way, the Gemara over here doesn't quote, in other words, the Gemara is entertaining the idea that it's a din daraisa, and the Gemara doesn't quote a source. Rashi does. Rashi over here notes, the pasuk says, kaf achas, right, where all of the Nesiim, when bringing the 12 first days of the operation of the Mishkan, each one of the Nesiim brought karbanos, and kaf achas malea kataris, one bowl filled with kataris. And the kaf achas could very well be the source of this idea of tziruf, could be. Meaning that's what the Gemara is entertaining. Back to the Gemara. Amru lo zu lo shamanu. So they say back to Rav Kahana, the sons of Rabbi Chia, we don't know. Great question. We don't know. However, kayose bo shamanu. But we heard something similar, so maybe it has application. Shem anachu shalonik mitzu v'nisar v'zu b'zu. And once again now we turn back to our Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So I now have two menachos that got mixed one with another. And again, like a Venn diagram. So in other words, in the center there's overlap between the two menachos, and on the sides, each mincha has independent identity. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? What can you do? So as long as I can go to each extreme side and do a kemitza from each side, so the Mishnah tells us that you are good. Now, amai ma'arev halo naga. So the Gemara says, now, there is a tarovis, isn't there? And there is no contact. Meaning, well, the Gemara over here now is assuming is as follows. In our two menachos that get mixed up, one with another. So you have now on the overlapping center of the two, you have now a tarovis, a mixture between the two. And what the Gemara now is entertaining is the idea that, you know, some of the mincha, let's talk about the mincha on the left side. Right, there's a left and a right mincha. So the mincha on the left side. So of course there's some of that mincha that's all the way on the extreme left that's independent. But some of that mincha is mixed up with the mincha on the right. And what could very well be is that now in that center mixture, it may not be any contact whatsoever between the mincha on the left with some of its center mincha. Meaning the mixture could be such that I can actually have some of the mincha being further to the right and actually not making any physical contact whatsoever with the mincha on the left. Oh, but what are you going to say? What you'll say is very simple. It's all in the same bowl together. And since it's all in the same bowl together, you have now unification. And so if what we're saying is correct, so it's a clear indication, or at least it would seem to be, that unification occurs even to help us. Even as a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, Amarava Dilma Begushin Hamuchulakin Ha'asuyin Kemasreik. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the way that they're mixed together in the center is that not that it's a total tarovis, but rather it's like, if you can, I know it's easier to see this if you're watching me, but it's like interlocking fingers. So that means to say that the mincha, this mincha over here, is physically still connected to all of its parts. And this mincha over here is physically connected to all of its parts. Meaning in the assumption, the Gemara assumed that the center is totally mixed together, and I may not have actual physical contact with some of the mincha to the extreme right, or some of the mincha to the extreme left. But what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the way they got mixed together, there still is physical contact, and maybe that's the case. And if in fact that's the case, it doesn't now, it's not going to address our question of unification. Continues the Gemara. My Havela. So the Gemara says, okay. By the way, the word Masrek is a cone, right? I went to yeshiva years ago, really a long time ago. So my yeshiva was on was in Moshav Beit Meir, and right next to it there was something called the Masreik. And you know, maybe my first 2 years there, being there, I didn't know what was going on. What does that mean? The comb. Anyway, the way the trees grew, so from a distance, it looked like a comb, basically coming off the ground. Okay, only in hindsight do I know that. Okay, anyway, my havela. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, where do we stand over here? And again, the question goes back to the unification of a kli, tzir of a kli, and whether it's just a din d'rabbanan l'chumra, or it's a din d'oraisa, and it would help us as well. Amrav atashma d'tanya v'erim mimenu, minim v'chubar shalu yav yisarim b'shnei kelim v'yikmotz. So here we have a drasha. The drasha is very clear. Don't take a mincha, divide it two halves and put it into two separate bowls, and do kmitza from one bowl. That is out of the question. It has to be in one bowl to do kmitza. Now, habikli echad. So over here now, look, I know what I can't do. And remember, whenever we scale back from what we can't do, we're going to do so conservatively. So what is out of the question is two bowls. Two bowls is out of the question. One bowl similar to two bowls is okay. What does that mean, one bowl similar to two bowls? It means that I have a half a kmitz, I have a half of yisaron on one side of the bowl, a half of yisaron on the other side of the bowl, and seemingly that would be okay. Assuming that we're right, what did we just learn together? That a bowl unifies all the contents, even for a kmitza, which means that it would help us. So habikli echa dumit shnei kelim kametz. Amalei abayi doma shnei kelim. Hechidami kagon. And so the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the case in question over there is a really specific case. Now again, the Gemara over here is really throwing a lot of narration into the drasha, but it could be kagon kapitza bekaba, that what I have is one bowl inserted into another bowl, a smaller bowl, a kapitza. Kapitza holds 3/4, and a kav holds obviously a full kav. So now the afagav darvi mi'alai kevin demafsek michitzasa de kapitza mitasa hakli echadum de base kalim. So the kapitza mitasa. Let's put a comma over there. So that means to say like this, that what happens is that I have a bowl within a bowl, and basically now what I have is I have the mincha where some of it's in the smaller bowl and some of it now is in the larger bowl. That's where it's no good. What would be a scenario in which it would be okay? Hakli echad dumi de beis kelim hechidami kagona revasa shel tarnagolim. Basically, it's the bowl that's used to feed your chickens. Afagav de mifaskan mechitzasa ha nagi. And over here, now I'm going to try to describe it like Rashi describes it. A picture over here would be invaluable, but I don't have one. So basically, you have a bowl where there is a small little wall in the center of the bowl, but the wall doesn't go too high. So in other words, it does create some break between what's on one side and the other side, but there still, for the most part, is full connection between what's on one side and what's on the other side. Maybe that's what the Bryce is describing, but the point being is that they're still physically connected. In other words, the reason why the Gemara is giving all these various scenarios and permutations is just simply to highlight that the Bryce is telling us that two bowls similar to one is acceptable, but only in a scenario where they're still physically connected. But over here, if they're not connected at all, the question stands on the table, unresolved. Okay, so sorry, I should have put a harder pause over there. So now to the question of, we know there's a concept of tziruf. We know that what tziruf does is that it unifies that which is in a bowl together. Is that a din d'rabbanan, which only works for chumra, like tumah, for example? Or is that a din d'oraisa, which would work, afilu, even l'kula, if I had two halves in one bowl, and I did kmitza in one half, would that be a good kmitza, yes or no? And the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. By Rav Yirmiyah, next question on the table. Tziruf kli v'chibra mayimahu. We know that now there are two ways that we're going to be describing in which there is connection. One is what we've been discussing for most of today's daf, and that's the idea of tziruf. That if I have two items in a bowl together, even though they're not touching one another, the bowl unifies, the bowl creates unification. Good. There's another way of connecting two items, and that is through chibur. Chibur mayim, a connection of water. If water is touching the two, that water now is going to be connecting the two items. Don't confuse this with the halachas of mikvahs. Yes, it's true that if I have a pipe connecting two bodies of water, those two bodies of water now become connected through the water. That's a concept known as hashaka. Over here, when we're talking about water connecting, meaning vis-a-vis tumah, water will serve as a conductor for tumah. I told you, once you view tumah as electricity, they're not the same, right? But just in terms of the properties, it like really helps. It's such a helpful way to look at it. So in other words, water serves as a conductor of tumah, and it will transmit the tumah from one item to another if water is touching both. Good. So the Gemara says, so now, wonders the Gemara, can we actually mix and match these two methods of communication? So let's say I have in bowl two halves let's stick with the mincha, and then so in other words let's call that A and B, and then I have now outside of the bowl I have another food which is connected. Let's call that C. It's connected to be through water, meaning water is making contact with both. So A and B are being connected through Tziruf Kli, and B and C are being connected through Mayim. And so, Kitan on Kli Mitzaref Masha Besoch L'Kadesh Hanimila Degavai. And maybe this is only true when something with it, which that's the interior. Alva Debray Lo, Oduma Kevin Demechaber, Mechaber, maybe no. Maybe the connection is going to connect A, B, and C. V'imtim Salomer Kevin Demechaber, Mechaber, Chibra Mayim V'Tziruf Kli, V'Naga Tvul Yom Mi Bechutz Mahu. And the Gemara says, okay, and now we're going to basically ask the same question. But instead of the Tvul Yom touching the contents of the bowl, he starts off by touching C, that which is outside the bowl. But C is connected to B through water. So in other words, that's going to transfer the tumah through the water. And then B, that's a question of the Gemara, is B going to now be metame A through Tziruf Kli? And the Gemara leaves this question unresolved as well. Okay. And let's do one more sugya for today, and that's the following. The Gemara's question over here, a little bit involved, but basically it goes like this. You have a full isaron of flour, and you divided it. And one of the halves becomes tameh. V'nidma echan mehem, v'hinicho bebisa. And now you put it in a bowl, you put it back in a bowl. Now, there is an overarching assumption of the Gemara over here. I'm going to articulate it. And that is as follows. We've been discussing for most of today's daf, this idea of a bowl being a mitzaref. It unifies the contents. That means to say that if I have a tul yom coming and touching one of the contents of the bowl, the other parts of the bowl, the other contents of the bowl are going to become tummy. The underlying assumption the Gemara is making right now is that this is only going to be true if the tumah occurs in the bowl. Meaning, if let's say an item already becomes tameh outside of the bowl, and then it only is introduced into the bowl after it becomes tameh, we don't have this idea of kli being mitzarif. Now, I don't know why, meaning I love to give a svara. You know, I could try to give a svara. Right now, it's much easier for me to say the what than the why. The what is, the Gemara's underlying assumption is that Tziruf only occurs when the tumah occurs in the bowl, not outside the bowl. Okay? That's clear. Now here comes the question. So, again, I have two halves of Yisar, and I'll just, for simplicity's sake, for clarity, let's call them A and B. And let's say A was now already tumed up by Tful Yom. Outside of the bowl. A is put into the bowl, B is put into the bowl. B is not going to become tummy. There's no tziruf, because there was no tumma that occurred in the bowl. Okay, good. That's the starting point, that's the assumption. Now along comes the tful yom and touches A again, when it's in the bowl. But A is already tummy.
Right.
And so the question on the table is as follows. In other words, is now A, which is already tummy, is its contact with the Tvul Yom in the bowl going to have any effect whatsoever? Or do we say, look, it's already become Tameh, in other words, occupied. Right? There's just simply no more room in it for it to become tameh again. The Gemara has a great expression to describe this. Mi amrinan sava lo tuma olo. Do we say that it's been filled, it's been satiated with the tuma? So Amrle Abayami Amrina Sava lo tuma batanam. Now Abaye says, I don't even understand how you're entertaining such a discussion. Let's consider now the following Mishnah together. Mishnah over here is talking about a Zav, and we know the halachas regarding a Zav is as follows. A man who's a Zav, and a woman could be a Zav as well, this halachas would apply to a Zav or a Zava. So a man who's a Zav, if he were to sit on something that was designed for sitting, so the halach is that the item he sits on is going to be an Ava Tuma. Generally speaking, whenever we talk about transmission of Tuma, so the item that becomes Tuma is going to drop down a level. The halacha of Tumas Medrash is such that when a Zav sits on an item designed for sitting, the item becomes Tameh with the status of an Avatama. Furthermore, when we were talking about sitting, so the Zav doesn't even have to make physical contact with the item. 10 mattresses, one on top of another, all designed for sitting down, lying down, and the Zav sits on the top one. So now Tumas Medrash is going to be, because all 10 of the mattresses supported the weight, all 10 mattresses now, all 10 sheets, are going to be an avatuma, even though he only made physical contact with the top. Doesn't matter. These are all the basics of the ABCs of the halachas of Tumas Medras. Mishnah over here, Mishnah in Kalim, 27th Perek. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us that if I have a sheet that becomes tummy through Tumas Medras, and then the sheet now is repurposed as a vilon, as a curtain. And so therefore now it is no longer designated for sitting, and the Tumas Medras now is going to go away. And so the halach is as follows, says the Mishnah in Kalim. Tumas Medras v'asu vilon tar min a medras. So as far as it being a Tumas Medras anymore, no longer. Aval tamei maga medras. But it will be considered as if it made contact with a medras, which means to say, of course, that it's not an avatama, but it's a vladatama. So now, Amar Rav Yossi be'ez medras nagazeh. So Rav Yossi says, well, I don't understand what it made contact with. Elashim nagabo azav tame maga hazav. Ki nagabo azav mia tame. So according to Rav Yossi, only when it makes contact with the zav is it going to be considered a Maga Zav. Now, the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Vafila Besof. Amai Lema Savali Toma. The Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, when the Zav makes contact with it, after it was repurposed, but still, in other words, it was a Medras. So don't we say that it's become satiated with Toma? And how could it be now that it can take on the status of a Maga Zav? Amrle umimai dahaishi im nagabo azav le basar medras. Dilma mikame medras dahavitum mechamura al tumakala avahacha di tumakala lo. So the Gemara says, well, you're making an assumption. You assume that first it becomes tumas medras, and then after it was repurposed into a window, into a window shade, then the zav touched it, made contact with it. Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the scenario over here is that first it came into contact with a Zav, and then afterwards it becomes Tumas Medras. Meaning the idea of Savale Tuma means that once something has maximum Tuma, so then there's no room for a lighter Tuma to come in. But if something has a lighter Tuma, there certainly is room for a more severe Tuma to come in. Maybe that's the case in the Mishnah and Kalim, and the Gemara says, so therefore it doesn't play relevancy to our discussion. Alamisefa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's continue in the Mishnah over there in Kalim. Moder of Yosef Mishnei Sadimah Mekupalam Umanachim Zal Zeh. If I have two sheets folded, one over the other, V'yashav Zav Aleihem, and the Zav sits on the top one, Sha'alyon Tamei Medras V'atachtam Tamei Medras Umaga. Umaga Medras. So the top one now is Tamei Medras, and the lower one is not only Tamei Medras, but Tamei Medras and Tamei Maga. Because not only did the lower sheet support the weight of the Zav, but in addition to that, it also came into contact with the upper sheet, so therefore the lower sheet is both Medras and Maga. The Amai Lema Savalei Tuma, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Once the lower sheet now has been given Tumas Medrash, we are now at maximum tuma. And since we're at maximum tuma, there should be no room for any other tuma to come in. Answers the Gemara, asam avasacha, sacha bezachar zeh. The Gemara says, look, this idea of savale tuma, where once you have maximum occupancy, there can be no room for any more tuma to come in, that's in a scenario of sequence, zeh achar zeh, where first it received maximum occupancy, then there's no more room. Over here, however, as the Zav is sitting down on the sheet, so now, with that second sheet, with the lower sheet, you have both the Medrash and the Maga concurrent. There, we could say, or we are saying, that we could look at it as if it is both, since it's simultaneous. But B'zachar Zeh, maybe no. So again, to the question now of, if I have a scenario where the Maga occurs before the Isaron is put into the bowl, and then it was placed into a bowl with something else. No contact, but you have the tzir of kli, and then the tummy person, the tuyum, touches it while it's in the bowl. Do we say that because it has arrived at the point of maximum occupancy, so therefore it does not, it can't become tuma, reinvested with tuma again, or maybe not? And the Gemara seems to also leave this question unresolved.